Anybody who's watching us online this morning and anybody who's listening at home. As we begin this Christmas celebration, as we celebrate Jesus, the greatest gift, and as we come to worship the Lord, going to invite Hannah to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are bigger, mightier, and more glorious than we can even imagine. We praise you that you are so high above us, and yet we thank you that you chose to come near to us in Jesus, that you came to live among your people in him. Thank you that we get to celebrate that at Christmas time. So please would you help us today to look to Jesus, the promised Savior and King, who came for ordinary people. Help us to sing praise to you. Help us to listen to your word. And help us to encourage one another to love and follow Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Lovely to have our beginners with us this morning. Give me a wave, beginners. Good to have you wherever you are. And we seem to have some instruments lying around up here. So going to invite you folks. No? For a later song. They're not doing that now. See what I mean about really I could have done another week? That's for a later song. That's for the one I saw you doing when I came in. Great. Beginners, great to have you. Ignore all that for now. The rest of you, pay attention because we're going to sing. We're going to stand to sing as we begin to join together in those Christmas songs, which sadly we only sing often this time of year. There's no reason why we can't sing them at other times of year other than on tradition that we generally just sing them at Christmas. But we join together to worship God, to celebrate the good news of Christmas as we begin with Angels We Have Heard on High and then What Hope We Hold. Hello. Oh, that's much better now, isn't it? That is so much better now. Right, good morning. Full of the joys, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I know you are, Charles. Always in my experience, the short time I've known you, you're always full of enthusiasm. So that is good. Great to see you all this morning. As we start to think about Christmas, who likes Christmas?
Oh, 100% me.
Yeah, okay. We all like Christmas. There's nothing ordinary about Christmas, is there? It's a really special time of year. Everything about Christmas is shiny and exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you notice any differences in our building today?
Yes.
What do you notice?
Christmas.
Yeah, that wasn't here last Sunday, was it? No. What else?
And a present. That's probably for me.
I admire your positivity there, Charles. Yep. So, place is decorated lovely. And around Lisburn as well, what do you notice around Lisburn?
Christmas decorations.
Christmas decorations and lots of lights. Anybody been up to Castle Gardens?
No, but we are this.
Castle Garden. Wow, there was some crowd around Castle Gardens.
I think I can't remember.
You can't remember. Leo's mum, I'm sure you're taking him up to Castle Gardens sometime. He'll remember it if he's been there because it's very impressive this year. So ordinary trees get covered in lights and tinsel and baubles. Street lamps out in the street are decorated with Christmas decorations and lights. Shop windows are all decorated to celebrate Christmas. And even something as ordinary as a pair of socks gets wrapped up in really lovely Christmas paper so it looks much more exciting than it actually is. It's a great time. What are some of your favorite things about Christmas? What are some of your favorite things about Christmas? Louise. What was that?
That Jesus was born.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that way. Hey, you're giving me, I hope, yeah, but that's, well, absolutely. That Jesus was born. Wasn't the answer I was expecting to get first, but hey, extra credit for getting the most important answer. Alice.
That elf's come.
There's an elf has come this morning. Is that a naughty elf or a good elf? It's a good elf, right? What else do we like about Christmas? What else, Natalie? Presents. Yeah.
Spending time with family and presents.
Spending time with family and presents. Yeah. If it was just spending time with family without the presents, would that still be good?
Yes.
There we go. Leo. Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Emily.
Christmas trees. Fun decorating them.
You have fun decorating? Would you like to come around and decorate ours for us? Yeah, that would be great. Yes. Anything else we like about Christmas? Anything else, Jordan?
About Santa getting presents.
About Santa bringing presents? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a very, very special visitor at our Christmas fair yesterday. Yeah, I think you saw him there, many of you. Now, there's lots of things we like about Christmas, and Christmas often turns things that are ordinary into things that are extraordinary. But we want to start by thinking about the ordinary. Does anybody see a box with the word ordinary on it?
There! I saw that 100 years ago.
You saw it 100 years ago, right, okay. Oh, it's going to be a long morning, right? A long December, right? Because we want to think about some of the ordinary things about Christmas this morning, and then later we'll think about some of the extraordinary things about Christmas. So, first person we want to think about was a very ordinary person. She was just a young woman, and she's very much involved in the Christmas story. Does anybody know who that is, Arabella?
Mary.
Mary, right. Could I have a volunteer? Would somebody? Probably a girl volunteer would be better, Charles. Alice, do you want to come up? Right, so we've got Mary. So traditionally this time of year, you got to get the tea towel, haven't you? And then you got to... Oh, where'd you go, Alice? There you are. Sorry, Alice, you all right? There we go. There's Mary. Right. So we got Mary along with our Christmas elf. Brilliant. Not in the traditional story, folks. So we got Mary here. And Mary was just an ordinary young woman growing up in a very ordinary town. Anybody know what the town was that Mary lived in? What was the name of the town that Mary lived in, Natalie? That comes later in the story. Where does Mary start in the story? She's not there. She's...
1000 BC, I think.
No, place, not a time. Place. What was the name of the town that Mary... Begins with N, begins with N. Emily.
Nazareth.
Thank you, Nazareth, right. And Nazareth was a very, very ordinary town, but round Nazareth, as in many parts of Galilee, one of the main things that they grew were olives. They would have had olive trees, and they you're sticking your tongue out there, Katie. That doesn't look like you. You don't want an olive, do you?
No,
right. So there would have been lots of olive trees and olive farm. Does anybody like olives? Some of you do, right? Okay, you haven't tasted one. Maybe afterwards, right? So you hold that for me. So Nazareth, ordinary town, lots of olive trees and farming, and Mary would have done many ordinary things like making dinner. Hold that for me. Making dinner, helping out around the home. Mary was just ordinary young woman in Nazareth. Thank you very much. Okay. And then we come to the second ordinary person in our story. Let's see the picture. Second ordinary person in our story. Anybody guess what his name is? What's his name? His name, Leo.
Joseph,
yeah.
Also him in the play.
You're also him in the play, are you? Right, okay. Well, Mary was engaged to Joseph. And what was Joseph's job? There are clues in that picture. He's carrying lots of wood under his arm. What was Joseph's job? Okay. That is right, Danielle. He was a carpenter, so he worked with wood. And he made lots of things with wood. Maybe he made a wooden spoon like this. Maybe Mary even had a wooden spoon like that she had got from Joseph. But Joseph was an ordinary carpenter in Nazareth. And he planned to get married to Mary. And he was really looking forward to that. And then one day Mary came to him with some news that he really, 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 really wasn't expecting. What was Mary's news?
She was pregnant. pregnant?
She was pregnant. She was going to have a child. And Joseph was very, very sad because he knew the child wasn't his. He knew it wasn't his baby. What was he going to do? And he went to bed one night, lay down, put his head on his pillow, and he went to bed very sad because he didn't know what he was going to do. So we've got Mary, we've got Joseph, and then we've got another set of ordinary people in our story. Here they are here. Oh, sorry, they'll come up there. Now, does anybody know what that is? He's in a hurry. We'll find out why he's in a hurry later, but what were these people were thinking about? Here, Emily. He's a shepherd. He is indeed. He is a shepherd because we're told that there were ordinary shepherds out in the fields, and what do shepherds look after?
Sheep.
There's one.
Would you like to eat?
Well, you're not eating that one. Here's another one. The shepherds were out in the fields, and they were watching their flocks, not washing socks. Some people sometimes sing, but they were watching their flocks. They weren't rich. Shepherds weren't rich. They didn't look smart. And if they had socks, they were probably smelly socks like this one.
Why?
Why? Because they were out. They lived out in the hills and they didn't get a chance to wash very much. So their clothes wouldn't have been very pleasant at all. And they were used to being forgotten about and left out. Shepherds didn't tend to have many friends. They hardly ever got invited to parties. Hardly ever got party invitations, anything like that. Shepherds often got left out. How does it feel when you get left out? How does it feel? Yeah, it's not nice when people leave you out of things. Well, shepherds were used to getting left out. They were just ordinary people, ordinary shepherds. But the Christmas story tells us that God is interested in ordinary people. People who think and know they're not important, they're special in the world's eyes. Christmas is for ordinary people like Mary, like Joseph, like the left out shepherds, and like us as well.
What do you mean?
In a few minutes we'll think about the extraordinary box, but that's where we're going to leave it for now. And now I need to tidy up a wee bit because now we're going to sing, and Hannah will let... So as well, I've got you here to keep me right. Not yet. No, we're okay. We're okay. Yeah, I'm right this time. Right. Hand over to Hannah.
Great. Last year, we learned a new song called Oh, What a Glorious Night. The children had helped us to learn that last year, and they're going to help us again this year to remind us of that song. So, beginners, if you'd like to come up and take your instruments, and if there's anybody from Kids Church who'd like to help me with the actions, you can come up too. Brilliant. So the children are going to sing through the first verse and chorus, and then we will all join in to sing together from the start again.
Thank you very much, the band. Thank you to Hannah and Danielle and Emily for our actions. Thank you to our extra band. Thank you to beginners as well for that lovely song. Let's do that again before Christmas. That was great. Folks, a few announcements at this stage. First of all, rehearsals for the carol service continue this morning after the service in the upper room at midday. A carol service coming up Sunday evening, the 17th of December. Then this evening, folks, we invite you please to come back. And this evening, we're trying to focus, particularly on Sunday evenings, on mission, and particularly those missionary societies that we have an involvement and an interest with over the years. And tonight, it's the turn of Open Doors. And as I hope you all know, or the vast majority of you know, Open Doors is an organization that seeks to support the church in countries where Christians are actively persecuted. And sadly, that is far, far, far too many
countries in our world today. It's a couple of years since we've had a speaker from Open Doors. John George Culley will be with us this evening. You know, folks, we have tremendous freedom, and we're all in a position to gather here tonight as well as this morning. So many of our brothers and sisters don't have that freedom, don't have that luxury, don't have that opportunity to gather. Please come along this evening as we hear tonight and get an update about the work of Open Doors and supporting our suffering brothers and sisters. Then tomorrow evening, Kirk Session, remember our prayer meeting, 8 p.m. In the link. And district elders, you're asked to go to meeting room 2 upstairs in the link after the service to collect any items from members of your district. So if you can go upstairs there to meeting room 2, you'll find items there. It's all been set out for you folks by district. Please collect those after the service. In addition, the December and January bulletin is available. It's already uploaded to the resources section of the website, so you can download it from there. I encourage you to do that and to read through it. There's a lot in that because it's covering December and January. There are also printed copies. There were printed copies at the door. They're also available in the link. District elders, if you want any for housebound folks or folks without internet access, there is a box of bulletins under the front pew here, folks, under the front pew. District elders are looking for that. Folks, thank you for all your generous giving in recent weeks. I'm very conscious that we ask a lot at this time of year, very, very conscious of that, and very conscious of your generous response regards to that, whether that's over 60 shoeboxes that went to Samaritan's Purse, whether that's the 5 or 6 trolley loads of items that went to the food bank for those hampers that are being made up this week, whether that's the little over 22,000 that's been given to the gift day for the repayment of the loans and the link redevelopment, or whether that's an anticipation of that giving to the city mission. I don't take any of that for granted, folks, and thank you for continuing to respond, particularly to the needs of others at this time of year. Our building's looking lovely. We thank those who were involved in doing that during this week. Daniel Nelson got a team of volunteers, but Daniel's wife Jess has said to have to make it very clear that I'm not to thank Daniel for doing the work, because Daniel turned up after the work was done. But he did get the gang together to do that. So thank you to all those who were involved in decorating our meeting house, and particularly getting that banner changed. I'm always so happy when I come in and see that's done. I hate watching it being done. It scares the life out of me. But I presume Andy McGrath probably got that job. Yes, he did. Andy got that job. Thanks, Andy, for doing that. Thank you to everybody involved yesterday morning in planning and setting up, in cooking and serving, and then clearing up at our BB&GB Christmas market. It was a really great day. And the total received yesterday was £2,698. And our captains, just thank you so much for that generous giving to the work of our BB and our GB. Finally, folks, it is with sadness that I announced the death earlier this week of Mrs. Elizabeth Hard of Verindale Manor, Lisburn. Service of thanksgiving for Elizabeth's life was held here on Friday afternoon. To her husband of 64 years, Bobby, her daughter Louise, her son-in-law Ian, and the Winder family circle, we extend our sincerest sympathy. Let's pray together for a moment. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the message of this time of year. We thank you again that it is the message of God coming to earth, of God not sheltering yourself from the harsh realities of life on this earth, but becoming human as we are, entering in our humanity to the full. And we thank you, Lord, that your Son, the Lord Jesus, has identified with us in all things, that he knew what it was to know laughter and to know tears, and to weep with those who were weeping. Father, we commit to your comfort those who are mourning at this time, particularly Elizabeth's family. We pray that you'd be near to them, that they would know your presence as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We commit Bobby and Louise and Ian and the whole wider family circle to your care and keeping, as we remember others, Lord, who at this time of year especially remember and still know sorrow over a missing loved one. Draw near to all such at this time, Lord, and keep them in our thoughts and in our prayers as a church family, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, you're still here. Good. Excellent. Right. We were thinking about ordinary, and now we're thinking about
extraordinary.
Because as we've said already, there's nothing ordinary about Christmas. Often at Christmas, we wear Christmas jumpers. Oh, there's some Christmas jumpers today.
Darn it.
Other strange things happen at Christmas. Extraordinary things. Sausages were bacon. An ordinary roast dinner gets supersized. And people give presents, and there's effort put in and huge generosity to make Christmas extraordinary, particularly parents putting that effort in for their children. But Christmas has always been extraordinary. And in the Christmas story, we hear about angels talking to people. And angels are always extraordinary. We're going to hear one of those messages from an angel to one of the ordinary people in our story. So Ella Cassidy is going to come and read to us. I hope, Ella, you're going to come up and read from Luke chapter 1 for us.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went and said to her, "Greetings, who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
Thank you, Ella. There's the account of the first angel in our story. Who did that angel come and speak to?
Joseph.
No, you weren't listening. Who did the angel come and speak to there? Mary. The angel, first of all, came and spoke to Mary. Now, you know extraordinary things are going on. You know God is at work in our world whenever angels are appearing to people and giving them messages. And that was the extraordinary message we just heard that the angel brought to Mary. The angel brought that message to Mary, and it was the announcement that she was going to give birth to a baby, and this baby was going to be a very special baby. This baby was going to, this baby was coming as a king, coming as a king. Now, we know about the announcement of a new king because we've had that in recent times, have we? It's not so very long ago that we had a new king who was crowned, and people were waving flags, and they were shooting off cannons, and they were blowing trumpets. It's not working too well, is it? Oh dear, I'm not going to say where I got that from, but people were celebrating. At least that still worked. That's been up in the pulpit for a year. I was amazed that still worked. People were celebrating a king in our country. Well, this angel was bringing news of a very special king, God's forever king, an amazing messenger, amazing message that the angel brought for Mary. And the angel said this king would arrive as what? As a tiny little
baby.
Yeah. As a tiny little baby who would fit into a little baby grow just like this. That this king would be born as a little baby, just as we're born as little babies. And by the power of God, she would have that baby. And that is extraordinary. That was God's message to Mary. But angels were busy because God sent another angel. And we read about that in Matthew chapter 1. And Emily is going to come and read to us this message. So listen very carefully to this.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
Thank you, Emily. Excellent. Thank you so much. So who did the angel go to next?
Joseph.
You're right this time. Yes. God sent an angel to Joseph. Do you remember we saw how Joseph had gone to bed sad?
Yeah.
He was all confused. He didn't know what he was going to do because Mary had a baby and he knew it wasn't his baby. But the angel came and explained to him that this was God that was at work. Mary hadn't done anything wrong. God was at work and Mary was going to give birth to a baby what?
Jesus or God.
Well, coming to that, yeah. But it was going to be a baby boy or boy, yeah. Now, sometimes parents don't know whether they're going to have a boy or a girl. They like to wait for the surprise until the baby is born. But sometimes people do find out what it's going to be. Well, Joseph was told very clearly this is going to be a baby boy. And he was told some very important pieces of information that about that baby boy, including the name he was to be given. Now, is anybody scared of balloons popping?
Yes. Please don't.
Well, I kind of have to because the information I need is inside. If I go up back and do it here, or is anybody brave enough to hold it for me?
No, not a chance.
Not a chance. Leo, come on, you're brave, aren't you? Right, hold it for me. You ready? Dear goodness, that scared me. Now, do you find did anything come out of that balloon? Right. Come over here, Leo. Open these up for me. Sit down. Open them up. What does that say?
Jesus.
Right. So the angel told Joseph. Joseph wasn't going to get to pick the name for this baby. God's already picked the name. The name was going to be Jesus. And then the angel told Joseph why the baby was going to be called Jesus.
Because he was a God.
Jesus. What does Jesus mean? Was anybody listening, Alice?
Because it's Jesus, God's son.
He's God's son. Yep. But Jesus is a name that literally means, what's that say, Leo?
Savior.
Literally means Savior. Jesus means Savior. Jesus means the Lord saves. So that was an extraordinary message that this child that Mary was going to have was God's son, and he was going to save the world. And so he is given the name Jesus, which means Savior. Thank you very much, Leo. You can go back there. So we've heard what the angel said to... You forget where your seat was? It's appeared again. You're all right. Right. Okay. Thank you. You're tidying up for me already. That's super. So we've heard what the angel had to say to Mary. We've heard what an angel had to say to Joseph. But there was an angel appeared to somebody else as well. Who else do we have in our story? Some other ordinary people?
Shepherds.
There was a message for the shepherds too. Chelsea Biddle. Chelsea, come on up. You're going to read to us from Luke chapter 2. I don't think you're going to need the box, Chelsea. Whoops.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger."
There was a message from the angel for the shepherds, and it was news. Right, that's still the way we sometimes get our news today is in papers, but often the papers we have, they don't really have good news. Sure they don't. They're filled with bad news, and yeah, this one seems to be filled with bad news as well. Was it bad news that the angel had for the shepherds?
No,
it was good news. It was great news. It was extraordinary news. It was the extraordinary news for everyone in the world that a king had been born in Bethlehem who was going to bring joy to the people. And the angels gave the shepherds, they gave them a checklist. They said, there are certain things you need to look out for, and when you find all these things, you can check them off your list, and you'll know that you find the king we're talking about. And here's the checklist. They were told, you're going to find a baby, newborn baby. You're going to find it in an animal feeding box. The shepherds thought, well, that's unusual. You don't normally put a baby in an animal feeding box. And you're going to find the baby wrapped in strips of cloth. That's pretty extraordinary. That's not the normal way you expect to find a baby. But those are some of the extraordinary messages that those angels brought that showed God was at work and God was doing something special. Now we're going to pause again. Now I'm going to invite you to go back, because if you've got any gifts to bring up later in the service, I want you to be able to go and get those. So if you want to go back to your parents now, that would be great. And then the band are going to come up and we're going to sing again, okay? So I invite you to go back to your seats now. Please be seated, folks. I see Roger's appeared at the back. Folks, at this stage, Ian will play for us, and we're going to invite our young ones, if you have anything with you for the Belfast City Mission, just to come up. I think Roger's box is under the tree here, and he'll collect those from you. So please feel free to come and do that now, all right? Gracious God, we thank you that we give because you first gave to us. And we remember you gave that which was most precious and valuable to you. You gave us a gift of your only Son, the Lord Jesus. No gift could ever come close to matching that extraordinary gift that you gave to us. But we thank you that we give gifts, reminding ourselves of your giving. We give gifts, Lord, to those that we love. We give gifts to those, Lord, who need that help and that assistance, and who need to hear of that love that you have for them in Jesus. So I thank you, as Roger said, for the giving of your people here. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the means to give, the ability to give, and the willingness to give. Thank you for giving to Samaritan's Purse, to Operation Christmas Child, and we pray that those shoe boxes would bring joy and delight to many children's faces and help them hear the Christmas message. We thank you for all that generous giving to the food bank, and for those Christmas hampers that will be assembled this week, those hampers that will be a lifeline to many people who are struggling in these days. Thank you for the generous giving of people here and across all the churches in Lisburn. And thank you for this giving today for the work of the Belfast City Mission. We know many needy houses and families that there are in Belfast, not just materially needy, but spiritually needy as well. May these gifts that go out to those homes also convey something of your love for those families, and bless those city missionaries and their volunteers who will be involved in distributing those gifts in the coming days. So, Father, we commit these gifts to you now and pray that they'll be used to glorify the name of Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Final reading is from Luke chapter 2, and Ben Nelson's going to read that for us.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Message given to Mary, message given to Joseph, message given to the shepherds, and then the extraordinary event of the arrival of that child in Bethlehem. Mary hadn't done any of the things you do to have a baby normally. But she had a baby anyway because God was at work in an extraordinary way. And so we remember once again that the Christmas story is an extraordinary story. There's such an extraordinary element to it, as there always is whenever God is at work. And yet in other ways, this baby was very ordinary. It looked like any other baby. It had 10 fingers, it had 10 toes. Despite what one of our carols said, I've no doubt that Jesus cried and cried loudly, just like any other baby. That baby needed to be fed, and as it was fed at one end, the same thing happened at the other end that happens with all babies. Isn't that right, Sarah? Jesus was in many ways ordinary, just like us. And so while this story is extraordinary, there are also elements to it that are very, very ordinary. Ordinary and familiar to us. It's ordinary, but it's also extraordinary. Joseph struggled to find a place that night for him and Mary to stay and have their baby. They looked so ordinary, nobody could have imagined that they were bringing God's chosen king into the world. And Joseph put that extraordinary baby in a very ordinary animal feeding box. And he called him Jesus, which, as we've learned, means Savior. How extraordinary that God would step into our world in order to save us. And then the shepherds came in response to that extraordinary message the angel had given them, and they came and they found that baby. Just as they'd been told, as they checked off their list, they found that baby in that feeding box, wrapped in ordinary strips of cloth. How extraordinary. God's promised king who had come to bring joy to us all. The shepherds, who were used to being left out, were the first to meet him. And they knew it was really good news. In fact, we're told when they went from that scene in Bethlehem, they shared what they'd heard with everybody they encountered, and everybody who heard their story were amazed at this extraordinary account that they had. Then what about you folks? What about all of us here today? What about you? Let's go on to the last picture. Each of the ordinary characters in our story responded differently to this ordinary and extraordinary baby. We're told that Mary pondered and stored up all these things in her heart. She thought about what had happened. She wondered about what it meant. She treasured it in her heart, and she kept thinking about how extraordinary it was that God was doing such an amazing thing using her. Perhaps this Christmas, that's what we need to do. We need to stop. Slow down. I know I do. Just take time to think about this extraordinary message. Then there was Joseph, who named the baby Jesus. He did what the angel said. He gave it that name which means Savior. Wonder, what do you believe about Jesus here today? What do you believe about that baby that was born? Do you know him well enough to call him your Savior? He needs to be our Savior. Maybe that's what we need to do. And the shepherds were so delighted with the good news that they couldn't keep it to themselves. They told everyone they could find. They couldn't shut up about it. And that's what happens when you think about something, when you have something that's good news. When we have good news, we have that desire to share it. We've been thinking about that Sunday by Sunday as we've been thinking about gospel-shaped outreach. We have good news, and we need to share that as the shepherds did. Does that good news of Jesus excite and thrill us so much that we want to talk to others about it? Do you know, this is one of the only times of year where people are much more open to hear that message as we approach Christmas. It's the one time of year when people are much more inclined to come along to church at this time of year. And so that's like the shepherds, make sure that we're seeking to share that message with others. So what's your response? Thinking about everything like Mary, calling Jesus Savior like Joseph, or talking about him to others like the shepherds. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message of Christmas, this message which in many ways is ordinary, involving ordinary people, but this message that is also extraordinary, a message delivered by angels, a message that you were at work in this world, that you were sending your Son into this world to save us from our sins. May we respond to this ordinary and extraordinary message, whatever way we need to, whether that's thinking upon these things deeply and pondering them in our heart and worshiping you as Mary did, or whether that is like Joseph naming that baby Jesus, Savior. May we name you as Savior over our lives. Or maybe like the shepherds, that this is something that we need to share with others, to share this extraordinary message of good news. Help us not merely to be hearers of your word. Help us, Lord, also to practically live that out from day to day, that others would see the reality of this extraordinary story in our lives, in our actions, in our words. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, let's conclude our service this morning. And you are welcome afterwards to join us for refreshments. Folks, because of an incident earlier, we need to ask you all to exit through this way, folks, okay? So if you can go through these doors, even if you're not staying for coffee, and some of you could actually go through that. If you're staying for coffee, I encourage you maybe to go through that door today, just because of an incident that has happened. We would ask you to leave that way. But we're going to conclude our service as we join together to sing that marvelous Christmas carol together for certainly the first time in Railway Street this Christmas. We join together to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Folks, as I've said, if you could please make your way out these doors. Folks in the gallery, I'm sure the welcome team will give you instructions there and guide you in the right direction. Let's say the words of the grace together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.